pretty self-explanatory, isn't it, guys? Last night, we took a look at what it looks like to be a man of God who leads, right? And tonight, I told you we're going to take a look at what it looks like to be a man of God who loves. And just like that little video clip we saw, sometimes love, guys, requires an awful lot of patience, right? All right, so I just saw that and thought, what a great segue into what we're going to talk about. Well, welcome again. It's great to see all of you here. I hope your day has been, I hope it's been good. I hope it gets better as a result of you being here gathering together to seek the Lord tonight. Again, last night we started in Ephesians chapter 5. We took a look at the passage that talked about husbands and wives. And what we did last night is we said there are two main areas where we can be men of God in regards to our families, and that is to lead and to love. And last night we talked about what it meant to lead, to provide and to protect and to pastor. And the last one we talked about was that of pastoring or providing spiritual leadership in our homes. And guys, I don't know if you remember, but the challenge that I gave you last night was, before you go to bed last night, would you pray with your wife? Now, ladies, how did they do? Oh, my goodness. Okay. Will, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to, you know, okay. So if you forgot, we'll just start there, all right? Guys, if you forgot to do that, you can do it tonight. He did it, and it was good, right? Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Okay, so here's a little help. Last night, you may have noticed on your way out that we have a resource center out there. It was open last night after the service. And so, you know, honestly, the truth about the resource center is it's not really much of a profit center for us. By the time we ship stuff out to the team and stuff gets damaged in transit and some of you steal some of it, you know, we'll talk about that in a couple nights, okay? You'll be able to do business. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, in regards to spiritual leadership, this past year, Life Action put a new devotional out, and it's called Life in Action, 365 Days of Discovering Truth, True Life Through Abiding in Christ. A little devotional for every day, guys. They're really simple. There's some really great handles on everyone. You know, the pages are small, which is what I like. Not a ton of words. This would be a great place to start, okay? Don't necessarily want to just push my wares, but I think Life Action, when they put something out, they actually do a pretty good job at putting it out. And then tonight, again, we're talking about what it looks like to be a man of God who loves his wife and his family. Out on the Resource Center, this is probably the best book that I've ever read on what it looks like to love your wife. And the title of it is Loving Your Wife as Christ Loves the Church. So, if you pick this book up after this evening, you're going to know where most of what I got to talk about tonight came from. It's right out of this book, okay? So again, just some recommendations. I know there's a lot out there. We try to just pick out some of what we run across as the best of the best that we think, and we just want to make that available to you. Life Action's real big on just helping give you tools to continue on in this journey of living a revived life. So tonight, man of God, lover. What does it mean to love our wives? Or what's the definition of love? Okay, I spent 17 years in the manufacturing world. I liked to try to boil things down into something that was as simple as possible. And so when I start thinking about that, I'm like, well, what does that really mean then to love? What's the definition of love? And we have a really good definition in 1 Corinthians 13 that looks something like this. It's a bunch of descriptives on what love is. I'll just read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, one of the things that's interesting is I think about how am I doing in the area of loving my wife and my children and those that I do life with. Well, a real easy barometer to that is to substitute your name in wherever the word love shows up. Right, so I'm going to just read through it. You just put your name in where I put my name, but it sounds something like this. Ben is patient. Ben is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He's not proud. Ben is not rude. Ben is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. Ben keeps no record of wrongs. Ben does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Ben always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Okay? Now, some of you guys are thinking that's impossible, right? The truth is it is without God's help in us being able to do that. Last night in Ephesians, just a quick summary of the passage that we read. We won't turn there again and reread it. But guys, I need to ask you a question tonight. Based on this passage, okay, we read this last night. This is just a little synopsis because we're talking about what it means to be a man of God who loves. Guys, what do you think the number one responsibility of a husband towards his wife is? Now, I want you to muster up all of your theological training to answer this. I want you to look at what's underlined on the screen. Guys, the number one responsibility of a husband towards his wife is?
Love.
To love. All right, three times in the span of 9 verses we're commanded to love our wives. Guys, what do you think the number one need of your wife is based on this passage? Love. Ladies, you hear that? You hear how excited the guys are about that? Love. Love. Okay. So, only way I know how to do this is to take a look at the way that Jesus loves us and then put some handles on that and how we can apply that in the context of our marriage and family relationship. So, how does Jesus love us? What are the types of ways that he loves us? First, his love is unconditional, right? We've heard this before, this word unconditional. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You see, his decision to love us was in no way a response to our love for him. He loved us first, and it's marked by his commitment to do what's best for us, even though we never deserved that love, hence the word unconditional. And if we're going to love our wives as Christ loves the church, then we are also to love them, guys, unconditionally. So, what does that look like, unconditionally? How to love our wives unconditionally? Well, it means that we love them without conditions, right? That's what unconditional means. We love them without conditions. We don't wait until we feel loved or respected to show our love to them. Almost 23 years ago, on a Friday night, I decided ahead of time that I was going to love my wife regardless of what the future held. This unconditional love. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Saturday at Home Life Cafe about this whole thing about loving unconditionally. Okay? So we don't wait till we feel loved or respected. It's not based on our perception of our wives' lovability, right? It's not withholding love until they fix themselves up, guys, whether that's physically or emotionally or in their attitude. You see, if we choose to love our wives, regardless of our perception of them and how worthy they seem to be, we begin to mirror Christ's unconditional love. Okay, so unconditional, loving them unconditional. It's the way that Jesus loves us. And if we're going to love others the way that he loves us, then this is just one expression of that. Secondly, Jesus' love is sacrificial. Ephesians 5:25 says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You see, Jesus not only gave what he had, he gave himself. And if we're going to do that in the context of our homes, what does it look like to love our wives sacrificially? What that means is that we're never going to give up. Never giving up is what it means to love sacrificially. You see, I don't know if you've ever heard of a man who literally gave his life for his wife. If you have, they are likely few and far between. Few of us will ever be called upon, quite honestly, to pay that price. We will, however, be called upon to make other sacrifices that, quite honestly, will be costly. I ran across a quote not too long ago that said this: sacrificial love is a love that is always giving, never taking. It devotes total commitment to seek your spouse's highest best, no matter how anyone may respond. This form of love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love given is returned or not. Here's that unconditional portion of that love coming through again. Sacrificial love doesn't keep score. It doesn't matter how your spouse responds. If you want to love like Jesus loves, you have to put yourself aside. Sacrificial love is a love that gives, a love that does not demand or hold on to rights, but has the good of the other at heart. And I read that and I thought, that's a really great description of what it means to love sacrificially. Guys, are you willing to love your wife in a way that never gives up? We were with the team in a little place that I'm sure none of you have ever heard of called Interlochen, Florida. Anybody heard of Interlochen, Florida? We're in Florida. Hardly any of you raised your hands. So we were in Interlochen, Florida. It's kind of in the middle of the state. It's pretty small, but we showed up at the church on Friday. Typically what we like to do is we like to meet with a pastor on Saturday and just get to know him and hear his heart, especially if it's a church where we've never been before. It's good to connect with the pastor and spend a little time with him and hear a little bit about his history and get a little picture of the burden that he has for the church family that's been entrusted to him. And so Ryan and I sat down with Pastor Roy in Interlochen, Florida. And so we were talking, and Pastor Roy was a retired pastor but had been pastoring this church for several years, and he was full of life. He was probably close to 80 years old, did not act like that, had more energy than most people that are 50 years old, I think. Had more energy than me. I'm 46, so, you know, anyway. Through the course of the conversation, he made a comment about his second wife that he was currently married to. So we were like, that's interesting. And we inquired about his first wife. And he shared with us the story how early on in his first marriage, not too long after he married his high school sweetheart, they were out, I think they may have been on vacation, and she was sitting at the foot of the bed, and she was looking at a piece of women's underwear that only you ladies wear, us guys don't wear, okay? And she asked him this question, "What is this?" And he was like, "That's really strange. Why would she ask me a question like that?" And it wasn't too long after that that she had an aneurysm in her brain that sometimes does what aneurysms do, and it put her from a totally healthy individual into a total vegetative state. And we heard the story of how Pastor Roy had loved on his wife and taken care of his wife, even though she couldn't talk, she couldn't express any emotion towards him, she couldn't feed herself or do any of that on her own. And we heard how for over 15 years, he took care of his wife. And I sat and looked at Ryan that day, and I'm like, that's exactly what sacrificial love looks like. An amazing story of someone who was totally committed to loving his wife no matter what and never giving up over the course of a lot of years until God took her home. And then he was talking about the lady that he was currently married to at that time. A great picture of what it looks like to love sacrificially. And then the third type of love is this. Jesus' love is voluntary. It's voluntary. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." The wording in Ephesians 5:25 that we looked at last night says that he gave himself up for her. It has this idea of handing himself over. If I paraphrase that, it sounds something like this. Jesus loved the church and handed himself over for her. Because a voluntary love takes initiative. It takes action. It's this love that's a verb, right? We go back to Sunday night when we took a look at Philippians chapter 2 and how Jesus loves us, and he gave this command to love one another the way that he said, "I have loved you." The difference was, as he made that word a verb, he put action to it. And a voluntary love takes initiative. It takes action. It requires movement. So how do we do this voluntarily in the context of our marriages and our families? Loving our wives voluntarily, with initiative, with action. Well, I think there are three ways we can do this. Three simple little handles, okay? The first thing that we can do to love our wives voluntarily is to pursue her. Okay, the word pursue, it implies action. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Pursuing her guys might be nurturing her heart, things like winning her trust, sharing your feelings with her. Oh, boy. Ben, are you serious? Yeah. Okay. That's a way for you to pursue your wife, being honest with her and sharing your feelings. Romantically pursuing her, right? We're all guys. We like that part of it. Here's the thing. Guys, if you won her John Wayne style, you keep going after her John Wayne style. And if you won her Barney Fife style, you just keep going after her Barney Fife style, all right? Because here's the deal. Jesus loves us, and he pursues us, and he woos us. Here's what I think. I think we would see a radical decline in the divorce rate if we would do this, guys. If we would pursue our wives the same way we did before we got married, I can't think that that would do anything other than decrease the divorce rate substantially in this country. Something happens when we get married and we just don't pursue our wives the same way we did. I'm not saying it has to be exactly the same, but the whole thing about pursuing them is still vitally important. Okay, it's about winning her pleasure. We talked about this a couple nights ago, being interested in the things that interest her, not just the things that interest you or me. Doing things that she would enjoy, doing things that interest her. I can remember some time back reading the Sunday newspaper in our hometown, and I was just, again, innocently thumbing through the Sunday paper. And on one page, there was an ad of some figure skating championship thing that was coming to a town near us, right? And so I was like, I turned the page, and then all of a sudden, this started to happen. It's like, that's because this is what God does, right? He speaks to us, and he taps us on the shoulder from the inside. I turned the page, and this started to happen. I was like, no. Really? And I turned the page back, and I read the ad, and I was like, you know what? That's something that my wife would really enjoy. Okay? I'm not, nothing against figure skaters. Okay? I'm just not real big into the whole figure skating thing. But I knew if I took the initiative and got tickets to that thing and got somebody to watch the kids and set a night aside, and we just went and did that and had dinner, and we went and watched that thing, that would be something that she would really enjoy. And all I got was the nod. You're exactly right, Ben. It's very true. So I did. And we had that night out, and we went to dinner, and we went to the figure skating championship thing, show, or whatever it was. And, you know, just to be honest with you, it really didn't have much to do with the figure skating. It had more to do with the fact that I had planned an evening and took my wife out and did that with her. That meant the most to her. So, pursuing her, guys. Another way to love our wives voluntarily is to just prize her, right? We know, guys, we know how to prize things, okay? We're really good at, I have a problem with vehicles, okay? I love a very clean vehicle, okay? I don't have real new cars, okay? And they're maybe not even all that nice, but I just like to make sure they're as clean and as nice as possible. And so I really prize that. Some of us have boats. Some of us prize things like guns or golf clubs. Guys, we just know how to prize things, and we need to prize our wives. We need to treat her like we would want to be treated, although she's not one of the guys, so it's a little bit different, right? So don't treat her like one of the guys. Remember when you used to open the door for her? Right? Things like that. Treating her as valuable, as special. I can remember when we traveled in a trailer for 6 years, one of the things that was interesting about doing that is so that's your home, right? You basically live in that trailer full time. But something happens when you pack it up and you go from one location to another location, especially if it's 500, 750, 1,000 miles away. It's always just a big surprise when you get to the next church and you open that thing up and you figure out what's broke or what's shaken loose or whatever. And I know that one of the things that would make Jen feel really prized is if there was anything that affected her that broke over the course of pulling your home down the interstate, if I would jump on that right away and try to get that fixed, whether it was even an inconvenience or not, but just something that would affect her, if I would do that right away and put that at the top of my priority list, that was really a big deal for her. And it was just a simple way of me to just show that I prized her. Telling her, guys, let her know how important she is to you. Let her know how precious she is. Okay? So to pursue her and to prize her and to live with her in an understanding way. This one is interesting. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she's a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Interesting. We won't talk about it tonight, but I can conclude from that, if we're not willing to live with our wives in an understanding way, it says that our prayers will actually be hindered. Okay, but we're going to focus on something else on this passage in regards to living with our wives in an understanding way. It does not say here that you're going to understand her. Okay? It says live with her in an understanding way. Live with her as if you do understand her. Okay? You're probably not going to, but live with her as if you do. Okay? What that means is that you're going to need to study her. That's what you had to do in school, right? When you were trying to learn something new. That's what you did when you changed jobs or you got a job and you worked really hard at understanding what was involved and what was required and what the responsibilities were for that job. You studied for it. And guys, you're going to need to study her because you desire to understand her. Okay? So, a little wrap up here. Here's our cliff notes from the last two nights. A man of God who leads, provides, protects, and pastors his wife and his family. A man of God who loves, loves unconditionally, sacrificially, and loves voluntarily by pursuing her and prizing her and living with her in an understanding way. Now, my challenge tonight can be risky. I'm gonna say something to the ladies when I put this up on the screen, because you play a pretty big part in what the putting your life in action is tonight. But here's what I want to challenge you with, okay? Being careful to avoid being defensive, guys, I want you to ask your wife this question. What can I do to cause you to feel more loved and cherished? Now, ladies, I'm asking your husband to open himself up here, okay? Don't respond with something like, "I have been waiting for 5 years for you to ask me that question. Let me get the list out," okay? Don't do that, okay? Don't do that, okay? So, yeah, this can go really well as long as you handle this properly, ladies, or it can go really bad, okay? But just do me a favor. This is just setting us up for further nights together, okay? Guys, what can I do to cause you to feel more loved and cherished? I'll tell you, just what comes out of some of these conversations will have an impact that will last the rest of your married lives. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to gather together. And again, Lord, as men, I'm asking that we would feel the weight of the responsibility that you've entrusted to us to love and to lead our wives and our families. Father, I pray that we would be receptive to what you say to us, whatever that might look like, whether you say that through our spouse, whether you tap us on the shoulder from the inside, whether it comes directly off the pages of your word. Father, I pray that we would be men who would be willing to be obedient to what it is that you're asking of us. So Father, give us the courage to do that. And Lord, I pray that we would be really quick to give you praise. Father, please protect the marriages that are represented in this room here, that are represented in this church family. Father, the picture that you paint with marriage is significant, and it impacts the world because it's the picture that you use to demonstrate what your love towards us looks like with your bride, the church. So Father, please help us to model that the way that you desire it. In Jesus' name, amen.